Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is saying that farmers will have to wait until September for the first payments of a $12 billion subsidy program designed to protect them from a growing trade war between the U.S. and several other nations. So how are Massachusetts dairy farmers being affected by international trade tensions, and what impact will the subsidies have on them? Mark Duffy is the director of Agrimark Family Dairy Farms, their co-op best known for Cabot Cheese. He also operates Great Brook Farm in Carlisle. Hello, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, can you tell me about the amount of international business you do? How much of your livelihood depends on selling overseas?
Well, as dairy farmers in the United States, we've worked really hard, whether it be through our brand, which is Cabot, which makes products, or through the organizations that we're part of. So currently, 1 out of 7 days of milk produced in the United States leaves the United States. So 1/7 of the milk produced in the United States goes to feed consumers outside the U.S.
Okay. And so that 1 out of 7 applies to you as well?
So yes, it applies to me. I'm in a cooperative. Our cooperative sells a lot of products internationally.
Okay. Because I guess I'm trying to get a sense. I mean, we can talk about the dairy industry overall, and we will. But for you specifically, how has this trade war, these tariffs popping up all over the place, what impact has it had on your business?
Well, like a lot of agriculture, we have really looked to outside the United States because we make so many different things out of milk. And a lot of those, they have long shelf life, and that has allowed us to develop markets outside of the United States and has become important to us. There's been a lot of publicity about fluid milk declining in consumption, but total dairy consumption keeps going up for us as U.S. farmers, part of that driven by exports.
And so then in the long run, what impact are these tariffs going to have?
What tariffs have already done is to dramatically lower our future predicted prices. The dairy industry does a lot in what we call the futures market. That way, you know, cooperatives can make a product and plan on selling it and get some price protection. And those prices have gone down dramatically.
Already.
Already, yes.
Yeah, because I get the feeling that you and your fellow dairy farmers have, is it fair to say you've worked pretty hard to try to expand your international market?
Oh, yes, yes. And, you know, we all contribute to promotion. And then in our cooperative, once we make award-winning cheese, we take whey, which is everything that doesn't end up in cheese, and export that all over the world. In fact, China, a big customer of ours, and including many Asian countries. And so, and as a total dairy industry, we have worked very hard and spent a lot of money on that.
So are you
developing those markets?
Are you concerned that the tariffs could undo those efforts?
Oh, you know, absolutely. It's already having some effect on our cooperative as far as sales. And there is, I share the concern that if it continues long term, that we will lose customers and we will lose those relationships.
Mm. Now, Mr. Duffy, of course, you know that the president's reasoning in, you know, slapping the tariffs on the Chinese goods, which in turn is what helped further this trade war, his reasoning is that by doing that, it will effectively encourage countries around the world to lower their tariffs. So in the long run, it might benefit farmers. I mean, we have some tape here from the president speaking in Kansas City, Missouri last week. So let's listen to that.
Farmers will be the biggest beneficiary. Watch. We're opening up markets. You watch what's going to happen. Just be a little patient.
What do you think of that?
Well, there's certainly a lot of farmers who hope that's the case. I would have to say personally, that's to be determined. We do appreciate the fact that the federal government realizes that the current impact is much lower prices to farmers. So it'd be great if ultimately things would be better. But what we're seeing right now is the impact today, with a lot of concern about will it be better in the future.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you said you appreciate the federal government's concern, were you speaking of that $12 billion in federal assistance that the Trump administration says it's going to give to farmers?
Yes. You know, they're already publicly saying it's not going to make us whole. And so I certainly hope that it helps. You know, there's no doubt that that a better situation would have been if we got it out of the marketplace.
Higher prices, you mean?
Yes, with higher prices, with a more reasonable price, a price closer to the actual cost of producing dairy products.
Right.
Would be better. And so, you know, as dairy farmers, we're optimists, but we also tend to be a little skeptical about somebody saying, you know, yes, it's bad now, but it'll get better, because as most farmers would say, we have a cheap food policy in the United States, and the outcome of a cheap food policy is farmers who struggle to get an adequate price.
Hmm. So finally, Mark Duffy, what is it that you would want or need from the federal government?
Well, we do a lot with the federal government. What we really want is we don't want to be pawns or used to address an issue which we did not cause and we cannot remedy.
Do you feel like you're being used as a pawn right now?
Well, it certainly seems that we're being singled out. I mean, exports of agriculture have been a bright spot for the United States. I mean, we have an enormous ability to produce food in the United States, high-quality food. We have fantastic processing plants. We've really worked hard, as I've said, to try and develop these markets. And so, yes, to lose them over a tariff war is disconcerting.
Well, that's Mark Duffy. He's director of AgriMark Family Dairy Farms. Mr. Duffy, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, let's hear more about how this trade war and the $12 billion subsidy for farmers is affecting the agriculture industry here in Massachusetts. And Callum Borchers has more about that. He's WBUR Bostonomics reporter. Hello, Callum.
Hello, Meghna.
All right. So just first of all, I mean, give us a sense of how large the agriculture industry is here in Massachusetts and who has been affected by these tariffs.
Well, we don't think about farming as a major part of the Massachusetts economy, but it is a $500 million industry in the state, according to state data. And who are we talking about? Well, it's mostly small family farms, as you might expect. In fact, 80% of the state's farms are family owned, and their average annual sales are only about $64,000. So who's getting hit? We're talking about the little guy here.
Wow. Okay. So we just heard Mark Duffy then. I mean, he made it pretty clear that he is feeling the impacts of those tariffs right now. He talked about the immediate drop in the price of milk. Have other Massachusetts farmers also been feeling a pinch?
Yes. There are more than 100 dairy farms in Massachusetts. Many of them are members of the same co-op that Duffy's farm is, right? The one that makes the world-famous Cabot cheese. And when the co-op is hit, of course, there's a trickle-down effect to all the other farms that are members. I will say there's a bright spot here. People often think of cranberries when they think of Massachusetts, and that is, in fact, our top crop. It's worth noting that the European Union initially marked cranberries for a 25% tariff earlier this year, but dropped that proposal in June. So the cranberry has been spared.
The cranberry has been spared. Okay, so like you said, some good news. Now, about this $12 billion in federal aid, I mean, we heard, I was telling folks earlier that Sonny Perdue, the agriculture secretary, says that could start coming forward in September, depending on when farmers apply. So that's good to know. But, you know, we also heard that the president wants farmers to be patient. He's saying take the long view, that this trade war might actually end up benefiting them. I mean, is there any sign that that could be true?
Not yet. And that's why, of course, you have this plea for patience. But Trump has already been touting the success of his steel and aluminum tariffs. He's been saying that they're successes. And in fact, the primary metal manufacturing industry did add jobs in June, according to the Labor Statistics Bureau. And it's also worth remembering that just last week, the president of U.S. Steel credited Trump with a renaissance for his company. And of course, Trump reminded us all of that on Twitter just a couple of days ago. So I think that for him, he would say, say, be patient, farmers, and look at steel. They're already seeing some benefits, and you will too eventually.
Okay, so I should probably circle back to Massachusetts farmers specifically. I mean, how far could the subsidies go for them?
Well, it's hard to say for a couple reasons. I mean, $12 billion is a big number, but it's impossible to predict whether it's actually going to cover all of the losses, because remember, we just heard from Mark Duffy talking about he's not only worried about this year, he's worried about eroding those hard-won relationships with foreign accounts. If they turn to other suppliers, those accounts may never return, and $12 billion may fall far short. And the other thing, of course, is that USDA hasn't really been clear about how this program is going to be administered. I asked them last week, what's the criteria? How do you apply? They still haven't responded. And when I spoke with Duffy, he didn't have clarity on that either.
Do you mean there's no plan?
That's certainly what it sounds like. There is a plan in the sense that there is an existing program in place. So we're talking about a Depression-era program from the 30s that has never really gone away. That's what is being used to disperse these funds. So there's sort of a template, I guess you could say, but not a concrete plan for this particular relief package.
Okay. So where's the money going to come from? Do we know that?
Well, yes. So it is this Depression-era program. It's called the Commodity Credit Corporation. And it, as I say, still exists. It distributes about $10 billion in aid every year. And much of that takes the form of buying surplus crops. So let's say you produce more wheat than you can actually sell. The U.S. government, in some cases, buys that extra food from farmers. And then they would use it as part of aid packages to perhaps domestic people who are in need, or even overseas, they might send it.
Okay. So this is really interesting. I mean, I don't want to over-politicize something, but I suppose this is inherently political. Is there something to the timing of this?
It's impossible to not notice that this will be rolling out in September, probably, which is on the eve of the midterm election. It's also impossible not to notice that the primary beneficiaries are, of course, voters in red states. And I think that there's a broader context to keep in mind, too, which is that when the White House rolled out its budget proposal, they initially called for cuts to the Commodity Credit Corporation, which we were just talking about. So what we know is that the president doesn't actually like subsidies of this kind, but he's making an exception here. And so it would seem to be a pacifier to the voters who supported him in 2016 to try to make sure they stay on board in 2018.
All right. So that's sort of a big picture view here of tariffs, trade wars, and farm subsidies. But Callum, Radio Boston spoke with you on Monday about a completely different story about Bird scooters and their ongoing dispute with the city of Cambridge. And I understand you have an update for us?
I do. I have a little breaking news for you, Meghna. The Massachusetts Department of Transportation just recently has told me that it is launching what it calls a comprehensive review of these rentable electric scooters. Basically, they're trying to figure out whether they violate state law. There is a state law that says motorized scooters must have operational brake lights and turn signals. The Bird scooters have neither.
Oh, interesting. All right. That's WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers. And Callum, before I let you go, I just want to tell the world how thrilled that I am that WBUR has stolen you from the Washington Post. I'm so excited to have you here. Just welcome. And I look forward to talking with you lots and lots and lots.
Well, I'm thrilled to be back too. My parents sort of are, but mostly the grandkids. They're really mostly happy about getting the grandkids back.
Well, your family benefits and listeners benefit from having you. So thanks so much, Callum.
Thank you.